But I'm sure all of us can summon it back in an instant as we hear the words day zero and remember what that countdown was like from 2017 to 2018 and the massive efforts to reduce water consumption as the dam levels dropped ever lower. I still practice many of those water saving habits that we adopted in our household during that period. I'm sure many of you do as well. And I don't know if you're aware of the fact that another major metro is now facing the possibility of the taps running dry in the very, very near future. Gqeberha is less than a month away from its own day zero. Crippling water shortages looming in more than a third of the metro if they reach that point, with it the potential collapse of the sanitation system as well. We're talking here about a metro that has roughly 1.5 million residents, because it includes not just PE or Gqeberha, but also Gqeberha and Dispatch. And here we sit. On the line with me is Barry Martin, who is the Senior Director for Water and Sanitation at Nelson Mandela Bay Metropolitan Municipality, to give us a sense of how they've got to this point and how they're dealing with it. Barry, thank you very much for joining us. Welcome to the show.
Thank you to you and thank you to your listeners.
As we speak, I know the four supply dams collectively are sitting at about a little over 12% usable water. So it's getting very, very close indeed, because we know below 10%, there are big implications for the quality of water. Barry, is this, we all know there's been a terrible drought in the area. Is that all there is? Is there more to this? Is there an issue of leaks in the reticulation system, of overconsumption? What has got you to this point?
Well, we are now in year 7 of below average rainfall. So we have had persistent below average rainfall. And unfortunately, our water consumption remained too high during this period. And these two things coupled together is the reason why we sit with a situation that we are in at the moment. The 2 years of COVID have done us no favors either, because one of the key things during COVID was sanitation, wash your hands, be hygienic, and things like that. So that has compounded the factor. And maybe during those 2 years, the water saving message got lost because COVID was such a big thing. And so we now predominantly out of COVID, let me rather put it that way, and we need to focus on our water-saving habits again. And unfortunately, our water consumption remains very high at this point in time. It's one of our key things, what we are battling with at the moment.
Barry, I mean, the implications, if the dams fall below 10%, are not just around the availability of water for household use and drinking and washing and sanitation. Of course, there's knock-on impact into every element of business and life and your firefighting capacity and all that goes with it. My understanding is that there is just no wiggle room left, that every pump you have that is in working order is running 24/7. If one of those breaks down, what happens?
Well, let me put it this way. We've been fixing all of this, our equipment, keeping it operational for quite a while now already. And we've made these contingency plans, especially in the last 2-3 months, to ensure that all repairs are carried out adequately. Pumps are operational. Those that we have standby pumps, they are also available. And unfortunately, because of the drought, we're actually using our duty pumps to pump water as well. So from that point of view, we're maintaining all our services. But when it comes to our western areas where the dams are there, even if there's pumping capacity, we're in a situation where there will be no water to pump, essentially. So that is where our big concern is, on the western dams, our Alcoa, Luri, Impofu and Churchill dams. And essentially where we are at the moment, 12% average dam levels might be a bit a place for comfort from where I'm sitting at the point in time. But essentially, the harsh reality is we only have got 2% of effective available water to us. Beyond that point, we cannot take any more water out of the dam. It will be so low. And also, just to bear in mind that the Impofu Dam, we are already extracting the water from dead storage already. Wow. Dead storage is at 16% in that dam, and we've been floating barges on the river and the dam already, and we've been dropping the dam level from that 16% to about 10.5%, where it at the moment is.
It's very scary stuff, Barry, and I know that there's nothing like enough rainfall in the immediate forecast to make you think that it's going to change. The question then becomes, what do you do to manage the situation? Earlier today, I was talking to the City of Cape Town's Mayoral Committee member for Water and Sanitation, Zayed Badruddin, and I asked him whether there'd been any conversations between Gqeberha and Cape Town, given what Cape Town went through and the strategies that were implemented here to stave off day zero. I was very surprised to hear him say, we offered to help help, but nobody took us up on the offer. Is that correct?
No, that is not correct. We actually had detailed discussions with them on communication. Our communication team consulted with their communication team. We've consulted with their technical team also. We had quite a few Zoom meetings set up, and their previous executive director, Dr. Gisela Kaiser, has also been an advisor to us on the technical team for about a year at least. So the statement made is not accurate.
Okay. Final question then, Barry, is what you're doing right now. You're sitting in a situation where you are roughly 23 days away from being without usable water in large parts of the city. What strategies are in place to get you through and beyond those 23 days?
Well, obviously, we're preparing for emergency water supply at this point in time. The emergency water supply is looking at keeping crucial activities online in the what we call the red zone, and they would include hospitals and some businesses that relating to, so like oncology departments and things that associated with hospitals. We're trying to keep that a lifeline alive, and then also feeding off that main supply, we will be installing communal standpipes from where the community can, on a drive-through basis, collect water. These are being prepared for construction from next week onwards. The plans are already in place, and we've located all the areas. Obviously, areas like public open spaces, there's where we will go to. And then those areas that's on the periphery that will not be close to those spaces, we will be once again on public open spaces constructing bases with rainwater tanks that we will fill up for the public to collect water from there. As well as on the sanitation system, obviously any water that the public might have from rain to flush a toilet or so, we will be using our recycled wastewater trucks that we use for our greening around the city by our parks department. We are pulling them into our fold as well, and we'll be using those to bulk flush those sewers so that actually there's water to keeping whatever waste that is in the pipelines to flush them to the wastewater treatment works.
Barry, we must wrap up because I'm late for the sport, but one last question. Have you considered at all the use of or the building of emergency desalination plants?
Yes, we have considered the emergency desalination plants, but once again, those come along the coast, and then you must still pump the water inside into the reticulation and up to the reservoirs close by. So putting the plant along the coast, or even just installing a container on the harbour wall, dropping the pipe over and sucking the water in, but you need still to get it inland into the reticulation. And that is a bit more complicated than just, say, bring a desal plant in.
Barry Martin, thanks for that very sobering update. The Senior Director for Water and Sanitation at Nelson Mandela Bay Metropolitan Municipality.